The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, October the 16th, 2016. Christ without compromise, the Bible without qualification is our emphasis. And our sermon this morning, every other name is innominate. Christ alone gives entry from Acts 4, 11 and 12, and you're saying, what's this innominate bit? Well, nominate means to name. In here means not, like inexact. Innominate means without a name, meaningless, unassigned, nameless. Every other name than that of Christ is innominate. It's not a name at all. It's a frustrated noise which means nothing, to the point. What point? Salvation from the sinfulness of this current world and blessed acceptance by the power of your Maker to the salvation of the Savior. That's what counts. If you're interested in eternal life, the rest is innominate. Because, well, what does it say? Let's have a look in Acts 4, 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders. What builders? The people who were building up the testimony of God in a world that had been flood-ravaged with its Sodom segments, as false as it would appear, and certainly destroyed because of their unnaturalness, nature is what God has made, and because they went contrary to the assignments of gender as made, and currently, of course, represented in DNA in billions of cells in one given body. Billions to one are saying, nope! Don't start messing with gender. The man in his little political intrigues is saying, yes, let's pretend God isn't there, though there's no such work as the human body or anything like it ever made by man. It's time he humbled himself instead of exalting himself, for what exalts itself will certainly be humbled. Christ alone gives entry. This is the stone, quoting from the prophets, regarding the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, who would be put to death out of envy and the desire to save sin, not souls. This is the stone. So the apostle, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders. He confronts the wicked, misled religionists, which has become the chief cornerstone. What you rejected, that's what it's all about. Then we come to our particular text. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. You see, the rest are innominates. It's part of the body which has that name, incidentally. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven. The universe is empty of another name. Given, like the creation of the bodies, this is a given among men by which we must, though the given is free, like the body, you didn't have to make it. It was made, and you've been a receiver of the repetitive element by which it is mass-produced, although in a very individual manner. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must. It's given. But there's a compulsion, there's an obligation, there's a necessity to go through that name if you want to be delivered from a world marked for destruction, because as Christ said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away. Doesn't sound so strange now after the atomic bombs, does it? And all the seeming near to madmen that are using them. or threatening to use them without any fear, it seems, or apprehension. We must be saved. If you're not, you're damned. Condemned. Excluded without hope of remedy. Because you smiled at the remedy, rejected the remedy, ignored the remedy, had no need of the remedy, were sufficient before God and man in your own right and power and self and signature, your name, was all that was required. Is that right? Great place, universe. Hadn't noticed your name anywhere around. Maybe some other people have done so. It's not placarded in the skies. But that of Christ is placarded throughout history, both in prophecy and in detailed data at the time and in the prophecies he made fulfilled. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which they must be saved. Not Mary. What did Christ say of her? Whatever. What was said of her? Whatever. The Lord says do it. That's what she rather said. That's her view. Whatever he says, you do. Another Romanism, you even have things like she's the redemptrix in heaven, the queen of heaven. Only hope of sinners, we read. No other name. Not Muhammad. Who attacked caravans, who had certain, what he might have felt, national duties to perform. To assert certain peoples, and in the desert, to rule. Not Muhammad, who said, Christ is not the Son of God, Christ is not the Savior, Christ is not the Redeemer. God has no son. However, did he know? Does he want to put his own testimony in his life was hardly glorious in practical fact? Theft is not wonderful, though you may dress it up. Encouraging people to believe they're going to heaven because they've won a victory on the field is hardly commendable. And asking us to turn from the one who did all that Christ did, recommended from the beginning, right back in Genesis 3:15, the method told. We are to be saved by one who will himself be bruised. Muhammad comes on the scene, thousands of years too late. As long as sin has been there, there has to be a salvation. And so, biblically, there is. Not Muhammad, who took Mecca by force. Can't save souls by force. And if you make love by force, and God is love, it has a name. R-A-P-E. You cannot do these things by force. Nor Buddha, who said all is one, virtually getting rid of all the polytheistic encumbrances of Hinduism. A reformer, sweeping away all and leaving just what's around and giving you a few allegedly wise remarks of how to get along in the place. Hardly salvation, hardly restoring you to God, since he doesn't have one, though they made him one, perhaps noticing the absence. Nor Darwin. Many people undoubtedly treat him as the scientific God. They seem to regard the one that told us that admittedly he couldn't find the necessary skeletons to prove the thing, the necessary results in the soil. He couldn't find them, but he still hoped that the thing would be true, much better than Darwinists it became. Darwin, what could he do? He had to get it all from nowhere and then have ingredients to improve things from nowhere. On the illusion that if you get worse, rid of the worst students in the class, the better will be better. Rubbish! I've never seen it, and I've taught for years. You don't make the better people better by getting rid of the worst. You have to have better students come in. You have to have the ingredients. You don't have cars assembling themselves so that every mini system comes at the right moment and in the right setting to perform the right thing in the right direction, because you have deterioration. It's known as the second law of dynamics. And now it's being shown very clearly that the human genome is going down the drain. Like other things which are not specially protected, if you leave it alone in the field of marvel, when it's a vast design of huge intricacy, and even our DNA is, but even our whole individuality is the difference from others, is an amazing feat. You can't expect all that to get better. It gets worse. What we're seeing now is that the reality is we're getting worse. There's been no getting better at all. There's been differentiation as there is in cards or Marx. We're going to get heaven. How? By people realizing they got rid of the people, got to get rid of the people who rule. And as everybody keeps getting rid of the people who rule, eventually you're going to have heaven. I haven't seen it. I haven't noticed it. I haven't noticed it in World War I, World War II, the Cold War, the Bleak War, the Mohammedan War. I haven't noticed it in any of them. What I notice is millions of people dying. That's what I notice. Amidst incredible suffering. I haven't noticed these things. I haven't noticed the heaven. Nor did the USSR produce one, but rather departed, like all the corpses it created. Nor does the creditor provide the name. You see, what you do, over the generations, you build up the buildings, the power, the name, the manufacturing, you build it all up, and when you've had enough of building, you mortgage it all, you sell it off, you sell ports, you sell various things to other people, you sell your electricity governance, you sell more and more, and you mortgage, you have huge loans until you've sold just about all that you can imagine of value in your country, and you live on it, and you have a great old time. And then, of course, like Greece, there's a difficult matter of being in debt and not being able to pay. Credit doesn't do it. It's a deceit. There is a place for some credit if you are doing creditable things with it, so that it increases your strength, but it is no good for a prodigal nation. It has somewhat the same result as a prodigal son. And what it needs is pardon and power and a return to where it's left. In this case, it's Maker and the Savior, who once was great in America and England and Australia, but now they're laughing. Choose a gender, say those who don't seem to understand that DNA has already done it. I repeat, billions of times in any one person. How deaf do you have to be to nature, the defiance of which is unnatural by definition, like it or not? Some people, of course, don't like the facts. There's no help for them. If you don't like the facts, you're dealing with dreams. The human race is not another name either. Secular humanism. We don't know where we're coming from, but we're pretty good. We don't really want to do what we really should. We're going to enjoy it. The human race will have all wisdom and all power. Where did it come from? We don't really know. How is it created? Well, we have ideas. Yes, we refer to those. The human race, what's it do? Well, it kills millions of people and lies and frauds and cheats and instills ludicrous fairy tales called myths, which it teaches to children. But that's not a savior. That's what needs saving. Exactly. The human race is not another name. Theological necromancy is not another name. You say, well, the world is theological necromancy. Well, theology is the study of God, and necromancy involves the things which are dead, and involvement with those is a curse. when the theologies begin to say that God is not personal and all this sort of stuff, as if person sort of mysteriously arose from the mist like everything else, that's necromancy. You're dealing with dead things which happen to use the name of God and mean anything. Just a sort of literary version. Like someone committing adultery and calling it an extension of his love. Aimless wantonry is supplied by ever so many philosophies and religions. But there is no other name given under heaven among men by which they must be saved. You know, I've noticed that sometimes when you look at youth, sometimes it's round about 14. I don't want to specialize on this. It's not my specialty, but I've noticed that at the age of 14, a lot of people get their first sort of feeling of intensive individual strength, power, significance, aspiration, and so forth. At 14, but the wisdom hasn't descended. The knowledge hasn't descended. And unless they are brought up in Christ, very often the wit hasn't descended. The discernment hasn't descended. They're very manipulable by their own wills or those of others. Yes, the human race and childhood. Childhood is a simply wonderful thing. But it doesn't have the wisdom for man. So they took on the child. The child is the center of education. Oh, really? I would have thought the truth was. The child was listening. And some still do listen, though listened less, because they are misdirected. No, and women, they were, these men, these brutal, shocking masqueraders, these people going forth with their intoxicated, sex-ravaged strength and folly, immorality and violence going out. It's women that you need. Those who stay at home. Oh, no, wait a minute, they don't now, do they? Oh, well, I mean, that was then. So, women, are they going to be the answer? No. Women have some qualities which I find personally men rarely possess. There are qualities of social address and interpersonal delicacy and refinement. I don't say you don't find them in men, but you find them with a marvelous mystique in women. They have certain facilities, whether it be physical or whether it be mental or whether it be social, whatever it is, which are marvelous. I think women are wonderful, I said to one of the women specialists I go to, because they have certain things which are differentially exquisite. And men aren't really like that. Some are, and some women, well, I won't go into that. There's no need to list everything that everybody does wrong. Men and women both have marvelous potential features. And what is needed is to see the glorious counterpoint. Male and physical, like Bach's melodies. Counterpoint! Not this silly striving. This foolish attribution of this to men and this to women. Take your pick and take your time. You need love. You need understanding. You need collaboration. You need cooperation. You need perception, you need wisdom, you need to work together and to appreciate one another. Not this foolish, envious, vying, derogation. As if the one is the other. My left hand has many things it's good at and my right hand, but they're not the same. Though they almost. They're different. None of these things is another name. Different things have been tried, seemingly with a sort of paranoid preoccupation at times, born of the fact that as you have these endless wars, something has to be done. So you change your religion. You change your genders. You change from women, from men to women. You change from women to children. You change something somehow, and it still doesn't work. Do you want me to tell you why? Would I tell you once more just precisely why? It's because there is no other name given unto men by which they must be saved. That's why. It's under heaven. And so we've been looking at the names, the innominate names. And then we come to the plight of avoidance. We've touched on that not a little already. If you don't follow the name, what happens? Violent slaughter. Oh, there's no use pretending. Slaughter is becoming an almost universal substitute for spirituality. It's as simple as that. Instead of, if you don't agree with somebody, reason. No, there must be treason to reason. You dare not discuss anything. You might offend somebody. Oh, offend. How terrible. I've had some very offensive things done to me. One of them, I remember, is one of the best ever things that was done. If we were angels, it might be offensive to suggest something we don't quite appreciate. John, you can't go on like this. I'm offended by that remark. Where will it end? Angels, maybe it would be offensive to impute what is not good to good angels. But with people, it used to be known as bringing them up. Then self-discipline. But these things don't seem to appeal. But reality will appeal over all willfulness and arbitrary desires. And it's doing so by the million. Have you noticed? Have you looked around a bit? Independence has become a disease. Everyone wants to be dependent. And somebody wants to use some other nation so a few hundred thousand can go without their homes. By an act of mercy whereby they'll be allowed to leave the city that's being destroyed by another nation. Yes, Syria. How nice. Hundreds of thousands can leave everything they've got to somebody else who in mercy lets them go without torturing and killing them. How very nice. There's no use pretending. It's gone to the head. The heart has become numb. The solution is necessary. And it is rejected. One says, a prime minister of a particular country, I'm looking forward to the day when this whole business of homophobia, and that's a funny word, it apparently means that if you don't depart from the way we're built, we've been talking about the DNA and its male and female instructions, if you don't depart from that, you hate man, apparently. It's very, very difficult to understand. You don't hate man if you depart from the way he's built and written inside him. No, you would have thought that would be hating man. Man is made this way. I won't have it that way. That sort of perversion and that sort of thing, like perverting anything else. We won't have it that way. I would have thought that was hating what you are and what you are as a man. So if you won't have it the way it is, I would have thought that, well, hating is perhaps a bit rich, but shall we say a rebellion against it. But for some strange reason, when you say, no, I want to have the natural way, I want to have it the way it is, I want to go along the way I'm built, that's called hatred. I would have called it was love. I delight in the way I'm made and I want to make the use of it. Vocabulary seems to have got a bit mixed up. And this is one of the results. This is the plight of avoidance. If you avoid the facts, and these are facts, you're living by fiction, and the result of the fiasco is, need I say more, read the papers. What is necessary is the part by which he must be saved, the salvation part. Man neither created himself in the first place, nor can he redeem himself, repair himself. We had a whole lot of psychoanalytical stuff which proved so expensive and so useless to many. Because the solution needs to be present, not excluded. He can't restore himself to be as he was at the first, at the last. Fiddling won't do it. Jeremiah speaks with tremendous irony, but insurgent truth, when in chapter 10, verse 11, he says, thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, they didn't make themselves out of nothing. They were made out of what was competent, believe it or not. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Of course they will. They are imagination. There is only one God, and he has made himself unutterably clear in the Bible and in Christ. As our work on the web at webwitness.org indicates in some 240 volumes, and so many others for thousands of years have indicated in their own ways. So that's the plight of avoidance. And there is no other name. And if you look in Acts 4 once more and go past verses 11 and 12 and go on, we find that in verse 17 the apostles were to be threatened. They didn't like hearing about the resurrection. I love it. I love to know that this body grows old, and this is just part, this is my dress up on earth, and after this, in heaven, all of this has its meaning. Things are unminced. If you don't like the name of Christ, well, you can become innominate, can't you? We won't go into that. It's not very pleasant. How could it be? If you fiddle with faith and follow fantasy. Fantasy doesn't help. But anyway, to come back to this. So they called the apostles back and commanded them, you don't speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's what's done in so much government circles here. When I was lecturing in communications at what is now a university, I was told that there could be no more mention. I had said about 10 words which were logically very well justified. And someone came on with an irreligious statement, so out of class. I answered all this. Then I was called up. What are you doing? Did you have a guilty conscience if you thought that this would happen? I said, no, one of the students warned me. And so that this slanderous utterance of the one in charge was quickly quelled. No more! Nothing more in that name! Oh! So what do we have? We have exactly the same thing. They used to kill Jesus in the climax, and now silence anything in that name. Of course, I wasn't interested in selling my tongue for the sake of my stomach. What shameless defiance of truth. I said, have I said anything that's to be reputed? To be refuted? No, nothing. No fault found? But don't do any more. So, a quashing of truth. Does the word prejudice enter in? Does the word discrimination perhaps occur? Do you think that this was unusual? There's much to be learnt about the current assessments which have been made by people of great care. And what was the answer of Peter and John? Verse 20. Have a good look at Acts 4:20. We cannot. Always remember the word can. All things are possible to him who believeth. And the word cannot. You cannot speak against the name because it's the truth. We cannot but speak, they said, the things which we have seen. The writing of DNA without intelligence, by the way, has never been seen. The resurrection of Christ and all the power that's gone with it in the healings over the ages have been seen. We cannot but speak the things we have heard, seen and heard. We cannot but speak. truth matters. Fiction fashions doom, except when you understand it, as in fairy stories. But to make a fairy story reality is factless faithlessness. And finally, we must consider the sight of his peace. When that name is in your heart, and what it refers to is in your heart, so that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is in your heart, then just consider. For one thing, if you look at Proverbs 14:14, easy to remember. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart, and Australia is backsliding as a nation, of course, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Some of you who get depressed, I suppose that's one of the things that happens, is it? Your own ways lack luster to you, it would appear. You don't find anything uplifting, exalting, inspiring. You become depressed. Well, one of the ways to get into that condition, I say one, is to be a backslider in heart. And then you'll be filled with your own ways. Your selfishness, if that was the case. Or your violence to what you are, if that was the case, as in perversions of various kinds. Perverting acquisition, for example. Into hypnosis by wealth. Oh, there are endless ways of doing it. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. I can't imagine anything, frankly, worse. Separated from my God, from my Creator, from my Savior, from the Spirit, from the Sanctifier, from his power, from his grace, from his comfort. I don't want to be filled with my own ways. How ridiculous. Well, you'll be filled with it if you're a backslider in heart, but a good man will be satisfied. Now the next two words. A good man will be satisfied. A good tree brings good fruit. A good tree has to be well planted, because every tree which is not planted by my Father, said Christ, shall be destroyed. So you have to be planted to become a good tree by the good Lord in the good soil of his fashioning, and have to be planted by the Savior so that you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. A good man will be satisfied from above. Ah! Oh, how wonderful. David says in one of his Psalms that he was rescued from above. Above yourself. Above the petty follies of man. Above. Where purity and hope and goodness and power and understanding and logic and reason and life came from. He shall be satisfied from above. And there's a peace which passes all understanding, which you can see in Colossians 3, verse 15. You can also see it in your heart if you have him. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't encourage or allow unruliness in your own heart. It's enough to have demonstrations and murders of millions and all the rest of it, poison gas and all the rest of it. Surging flames moving throughout whole areas of a city and other war crimes, as in Syria it appears. Let the peace of God rule Britannia. Above all, let the peace of God rule. That's an empire which never declines in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's great. I'm a man. I've been made. I've been remade. I've been given a passport to heaven. I've given a visa for entry. I've been given the presence of my Lord. I've given the understanding of my God. Let him glory in this, says Jeremiah, that he understands the Lord. Why, these blessings are beyond all mention. And we'll finish with Isaiah 26:3 as we look at the place of the name, and the peace of the place, the peace of the place. We look at Isaiah 26:3. Yes, it's the same peace, Old and New Testament, for those that know the Lord. You, God, you will keep him, doesn't say him actually, it's left open, but it's understood, him or her, you will keep him in perfect peace. Now, I love that. Peace is one thing, but perfect peace, hallowed, deep, brooding, but brooding with joy, like some of Bach's music. You will keep him in perfect peace, or literally, peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on you, includes the mind. Mind what you're doing and what you think. Because he trusts in you. I always remember the trust that my old dog had in me and the things that he would do because he trusted that I would know what to do. The little yelps when I was taking burrs from between the pads of his feet, little pads of pain, but he knew I meant well, and he'd all immediately apologize and sort of lick his lips and say, oh, I'm sorry, that was completely automatic. Trust! Because he trusts in him. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee that you're there, that you are trustworthy, beyond all, for all who come to thee. There's not an aristocracy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him, God would have all reconciled to himself. Never doubt his call. Amen.